These yellow flowers come from a thorn bush, and they're unbelievably aromatic and very beautiful, very small, and they're round and fuzzy. They're almost like kadamba flowers, but softer. And they grow, and you go down the Parikramar, you go to the left towards Shonrak, and then there's half a dozen bushes over there, and they seem to be, well, they blossom now, and I think they also blossom in the fall. And very, very, very nice flowers. I don't know what their names are. It seems like maybe this is Heath's flower, which is related to one of Radha Krishna's pastimes. I know that there's also along the Parikramarg, but in towards the land opposite the Bhaktivedanta Hospice Hospital, behind there's some empty land still. I used to go for walks, and there they have Ketaki, and those are really thorny bushes, and the flowers are different. They're big, big yellow flowers. Srimati Radharani is called like Ketaki Rai. She's like a Ketaki flower, very aromatic, very beautiful, golden color. But you try to touch, then you get pricked. That's why she's called Ketaki Rai. Vrindavan still has so many beautiful things, although the other day I'm just noting, and I mentioned it to Govinda Maharaj, that I haven't heard of peacock since I've been here. We used to have peacocks dancing in the backyard here. Peacocks used to be in that tree over there with the bird Baba. They don't sit or even come and eat here anymore. All this construction, and we're driving them away. Yesterday on Parikram, when we were down around Mahaprabhu Ghat, then Shyam Bihari was really excited because it was a peacock. Whereas, especially down that area, there were like dozens of peacocks on a parikrama. Nilagai and so many other things. Now it's just noise and cars and trucks and construction and five-star hotels. Anyone got any questions?
I have a question. I'm not sure exactly how to ask it. In so many places, it says that we have stresses chanting so much. And in the West, I see that so many people, they do kirtan, and it's kind of like kirtan and bus, like
kirtan and
bus, like enough. Like, I do a lot of service in the temple, so it's kind of hard to see. No one really is inspired to do service, but people are always inspired to do kirtan.
Kirtan is always good, but all kinds of people chant for different purposes. and you fight the Buddhist chant, Madhyamadikari's chant, Uttamadikari's chant. So what's the translation of the Maha Mantra, and what translation does Prabhupada give?
Please engage me in your service.
Right. So if someone's sitting there chanting, please engage me in your service, and they don't want to do service, of course chanting is also service, but it's not the only service. That's obvious to everybody, otherwise we'd all starve to death unless someone thinks that if everyone thought that chanting was the only service, we wouldn't really have a movement with many followers. A few people could just live off chanting. So generally, devotees who are just chanting and reject doing service or requests for service, or it doesn't come to their mind, gee, I should do something else, I should wash from pots, or help cook, or clean up, or go out and distribute books, or I should take responsibility for the institution that's helping people chant Hare Krishna. They're not very advanced. It's good that they're chanting, but their chanting has yet to mature a little more. Somewhat more like Kanishtha Adhikari. Exclusive in devotion rather than being inclusive. So yeah. O Lord, O energy of the Lord, please engage me in your service. So then where's the service? And if someone just wants to argue, well, chanting is my service, chanting is service, and anyway, but then the answer is there. Chanting is our main thing. But Prabhupada gave devotees so many other service, and that answer wouldn't go down well with Srila Prabhupada. Why aren't you? Why is the temple dirty? Oh, Prabhupada, chanting's my service. Why is there nothing to eat? Oh, Prabhupada, chanting's my service. Why is no one worshipping the deity? Oh, Prabhupada, chanting's our service. I wouldn't necessarily want to be around when someone tries to give those answers to Srila Prabhupada, because it would be a pretty explosive reaction. Yeah. But still, chanting is the right thing to do. And by chanting, then one will come to that realization, one will come to that understanding. Yes. We should do other things, and even chanting in the temple and having all these chantings is valuable, but actually our real business is to chant outside. We chant inside, but we also chant outside as well. So I think now that's picking up also. Devotees come to realize, well, we're chanting ourselves, and that's good. But actually, there's 100 times more benefit to be gotten from chanting by going out and chanting to the public. And so, starting to do that. Something else.
Those two statements that appear kind of conflicted. One is that he said that as you advance in devotional service, you start acquiring godly qualities. And then on the other hand, when you find devotees suffer, you say that's Krishna's special mercy. So how do you reconcile those statements?
What was the second one?
That when you suffer, that's special mercy that Krishna is showing you.
What's that got to do with godly qualities?
Sorry?
I don't understand. What's that got to do with developing godly qualities?
So?
Where's the conflict? They seem to be like two completely separate topics.
So is it that you could have godly qualities and still suffer?
Why not? Pandavas are suffering. Sure. And Jenna, and sort of the introduction to any so-called conflict is that we should just start off with the fact that there are no conflicting statements in scriptures. It's just that we don't know how to reconcile things. So the conflict is in us. It's not in Shastra or the statements of the Acharyas or the Lord. So if someone develops godly qualities, that's all right. Just because someone has godly qualities, Prahlad Maharaj had godly qualities, but he was put into a condition of suffering. Prabhupada, it wasn't that he was enjoying the last 9 months of his life when he was so sick and so on. He was inconvenienced. He was suffering. Material world means suffering. But someone who doesn't have godly qualities, he suffers in a different way than someone who has godly qualities. That's the difference. Because they don't have knowledge, because they don't have tolerance, because they don't recognize that they're just taking responsibility for their past deeds, and most of all, they don't see that this is Krishna's mercy. Therefore, they not only is the experience itself suffering, but the psychology of wallowing and getting absorbed in their situation compounds that suffering many times. Whereas a person who's indifferent to suffering. All right, I have to suffer, so let me suffer. But let me try to think about Krishna instead of thinking about my suffering and feeling sorry for myself and getting absorbed in my pain and my inconvenience and my loss and my other things. Like I was listening to a talk, Srila Prabhupada. Devotees were asking, "Oh, Prabhupada, there's this newspaper article where there's this girl who went into a coma and she's sort of clinically dead, but still they're keeping her alive with machines. So what should they do?" The Prabhupada says, "Why keep her alive? Just let her die. Why is the problem? Should just get another body? So why keep her in that bad situation just out of some sentiment? So suffer. Material world means suffering for everybody. The Krishna consciousness doesn't mean, oh, I don't want to suffer. That's Anya Vilashita Shunyam, that's a desire for liberation. We don't want liberation. We don't want liberation from suffering. You know, we accept our dues, whatever we get. That's our dues. So we'll suffer. Then it's the consciousness by which we suffer. And by that type of, you know, just like dying, our devotees die. So, but they die in a different way than ordinary people die, and their destination is different. So dying is just, it's the culmination of all suffering. that we die and go back to Godhead. That's the dying of a Vaishnava. And we suffer our suffering. We suffer because we know I'm suffering now. But there'll be a place, Vaikuntha, no more suffering. That's the difference. Whereas in material life, there's one suffering, it's the more suffering, there's just no end to it. But for us, our suffering, yeah, let me suffer. And then it will all come to an end. One day. Hare Krishna.